أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب إله العالمين، أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد.
قال الإمام الصادق عليه السلام في دعائه في آخر شعبان: اللهم إن هذا الشهر المبارك الذي أنزلت فيه القرآن وجعلته هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان قد حضر، فسلمنا فيه وسلمه لنا وسلمه منا في يسر منك وعافية. The importance of eating and drinking in the month of Ramadan. As you all know, that fasting is to abstain from food. But for Sahri and Iftar, you eat something. Otherwise, you won't survive. So we eat something. And it is recommended to eat. So there are a number of issues regarding what to eat and what not to eat, and because it is not just not eating which is ibadat in Ramadan, it is also the part which you eat also contributes to the fasting itself. So how much we benefit from the fasting in this month depends on and is related to the times then when we actually can eat, right? We'll get to that in a minute. I'll translate this dua of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, where he said, this is dua which he, see, there's a lot of literature about preparing for the month of Ramadan. How you should, what you should ask Allah, how you should personally prepare for the month of Ramadan and all of that. In one of those duas where our sixth Imam said, O Lord, Allahumma, inna hadha shahr al-mubarak, certainly this blessed month in which you reveal the Quran and you make the Quran huda, guidance for the people, and clear signs, ubayyinatin, min al-huda wal-furqan, which includes guidance and furqan, the distinction between right and wrong, haq and batil. Qad hazar, this month, this blessed month has arrived. Fasallimu, here's the part which I wanted to mention. Fasallimhu, فَسَلِّمْنَا فِيهِ, give us salamati in this month. That means we don't get sick, we can fast. Give us, make us salim, keep us salim in this month. From the first till the end of this month, give us salamati and afiyat. So I am physically able to do the ibadat which are regarding this month, which are contained, to be observed in this month. وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا, and keep this month salim for me as well. What is the meaning of keeping this month good for me? It means that, as ulama have mentioned in Majma' al-Bahrain, this explanation has come that you know, the month has to be salim for you also. You can be salim for the month, that's important too. But the month has to be salim for you also. How? Well, first of all, you should know when the month is starting and when the month is ending. If there's a confusion about when the month is actually starting, for example, nobody cares about sighting the moon, and the moon sighting issue becomes a problem, and you have confused between is today, is tomorrow the first of the month or not the first of the month? Alaykum salam. And if that confusion persists till the end of the month, then this month is not salim for me. Because you have to observe the things that you do in the month of Ramadan on special days. The fasting itself, for example, starts from a particular day, first of Ramadan till the end. So if the first is not known, there goes the problem. Yawmul Shak, it becomes a major issue. If you don't have a clear idea about when the last day of Ramadan is, the moon has been sighted for Eid or not, there you have another major problem. So the month will not be salim for you. Because you have to have a month, you know the days when you have to fast. And also the major part of the month of Ramadan is the Layal al-Qadr. If there's confusion about the moon sighting, you will not know when the Laylatul Qadr is. So even if you are healthy and okay, if the month is not okay, then you cannot achieve the benefits of the month. وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا. Keep the month salim for me, for us. وَسَلِّمْهُ مِنَّا. And keep the month safe from me, from us. وَسَلِّمْهُ مِنَّا. This is something really, something to think about. So we don't do anything that will destroy, you know, violate the sanctity of this month. The salamity of this month also is related to what we do. If we don't regard this month for what it is, and for example, people get involved in gunahane kabira, in, you know, major sins, and they don't change their ways. Month of Ramadan, it becomes na'uzubillah just like any other month. Well, then this month has not been safe and from us. His salamati is in danger, jeopardy, because of what we do with this month. Fi yusrim minka wa afiyah. O Allah, keep me in... Yusr means rahati, aram. Not in usrin, which is sakhti, difficulty, hardship. The opposite of hardship is yusrin, you know. The Holy Quran also in one place say, inna ma'al usri yusra. With every hardship there is ease. Inna ma'al usri yusra. That with every hardship come also there is ease. There's no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not, for example, keep people in hardship all the time. Everyone, even those who are in comfort, also run into hardships. Afiyah again, this talks about the state of being, the well-being of a person. That's, you know, that for example is not affected, negatively affected. Both physical well-being and emotional well-being and mental well-being of a person. If, for example, you have everything but you don't have afiyat, you neither can enjoy life nor can you be of any good to yourself or anyone else. But there are, God forbid, there are things that a person basically is grounded. You cannot do anything. You cannot get up. You cannot do anything. And it becomes a burden on all the rest of the people. So one major dua that your person should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is recommended or also for ulama say, you know, that in the salat, in the last sajda of salat, you can ask a dua, you know, Subhanallah rabbil a'la wa bihamdih. And you say, Ya waliy al-afiyah, as'alukal afiyah, afiyat al-deen wa dunya wa al-akhirah. Afiyah. You want to be well, to be able to do anything. So you see how much emphasis on keeping ourselves in good shape, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all of that comes together. So we were in the beginning, I pointed out that we want to talk about a little bit about what you eat and drink in the month of Ramadan. The Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He was very careful, and all our Imams and Ahlul Bayt were extremely careful about what they eat in this month. And they were always careful. And you see, this if a person gets quwwat from food after iftar, let's say, but the food is haram, you know, then this ibadat will not be of any benefit to this person. Al-ibadatu ma'a akli al-haram. This is narrated from the Prophet of Islam, who said, Al-ibadat with halal haram food. Ibadat with haram food, kal-bina'i ala al-raml. It's like building a structure over sand. Or the other riwayat says, over water. It's like you're building a huge building over what? Sand, without any foundation. You keep on praying and fasting. It has no foundation. It can't stay, you know. And this is what we find in this really eye-opening riwayat, and there are quite a few like this, which is in Irshad al-Qulub, marhum Daylami, where he goes all the way to the Holy Prophet, it narrates that inna qawman, there will be people on the day of Qiyamah, yaji'una yawm al-Qiyamah wa lahum min al-hasanat amthalu al-jibal. So the people brought on the day of Qiyamah, they will come on the day of Qiyamah, they will have good deeds, the size of mountains, that much good deeds they will have. فَيَجْعَلُهَا هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. But they will see those good actions and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disintegrate, will just destroy all those good deeds in front of their eyes. All those namaz al-shab and fasting and hajj and God knows what else. All of that is brought, and then they will see them, it's like vaporize, you know, like evaporate, vanish in front of their eyes. هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِمْ إِلَى النَّارِ. Then they will be ordered to be sent to hell. فَقَالَ Salman said, سِفْهُمْ لَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Prophet, describe those people to us. Who are these people? Then we will have so many good actions and those actions will be lost. فَقَالَ أَمَا إِنَّهُمْ قَدْ كَانُوا يَصُومُونَ وَيُصَلُّونَ. Be aware that surely they will be those people who used to fast and used to pray. وَيَأْخُذُونَ أُهْبَةً مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. And they used to stand up a portion of the night for prayer. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا إِذَا عَرَضَ لَهُمْ شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ وَثَبُوا عَلَيْهِ. But they were such that whenever an opportunity for haram came to them, they jumped and grabbed it. Whenever an opportunity to do something haram, eat something haram, do something haram came to them, they immediately took it. They never abstained from haram. So on one side, all these positive actions, and on the other side, so much negative stuff. That negative stuff basically ruined all the positive. You know. So, and this is a concept in Islam, that what we call habtul amal. The good actions can be deleted by bad actions. Just as bad actions can be washed away by good actions after. So the actions and the af'al that we do and the aqwal, things that we say, they affect each other, interact with each other. Good actions affect the bad ones, bad actions affect the good ones. You know, there are certain bad actions that do not render any thing left in the positive action. For example, shirk. If a person is a mushrik, he may have done everything in life, but all of that will be wasted. He will have nothing for the other dunya. This is another thing. This is about the holy month of Ramadan, in which it's narrated in the book Mujam al-Kabir that some lady, Abdullah, she was the sister of Shaddad ibn Aus. Abdullah, she annaha ba'athat ila Rasulillah biqadahi labanin. That she sent a bowl of milk to the Holy Prophet. When the Holy Prophet was fasting. Okay? وَذَلِكَ فِي طُولِ النَّهَارِ وَشِدَّةِ الْحَرِ. And it was when the days were very long and very hot. Like Ramadan occurred in the middle of the summer, let's say. Like this year, you know. It was like that. Now this city probably is not that hot. I mean, you go to other places, you'll see, you know, the temperatures, you have to fast in those temperatures. 20 hours a day, and like that, you know. Well, anyway. So, فَرَدَّ إِلَيْهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. He returned that bowl of milk, sent it back. And he said, أَنَّا كَانَ لَكِ هَذَا اللَّبَنِ. Where did you get this milk from? قَالَتْ مِنْ شَاتٍ لِي. She said, I have a, shat means a sheep. I have a sheep, that's where I got that milk from, the sheep. فَرَدَّ إِلَيْهَا رَسُولُهَا. So there was this somebody who brought, so she sent it to someone, and this exchange is going back. The Prophet sent it back through that person back to her. The question was back to her. And then she sent it back to the Holy Prophet saying that this is from the sheep I own myself. So Rasul Akram said, where did you get the sheep from? You know? Where did you get the sheep from? Qalat, ishtaraytuha min mali. I bought the sheep from my own money. فَأَخَذَهُ مِنْهَا. Then he took it. Then he took that milk this time. فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنَ الْغَدْ. When a day passed, next day, أَتَتْهُ أُمُّ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ. That lady came to the Holy Prophet. فَخَالَتْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بَعَثْتُ إِلَيْكَ بِاللَّبَنِ مَرْثِيَةً لَكْ مِنْ طُولِ النَّهَارِ وَشِدَّةِ الْحَرِ. Ya Rasulullah, I sent you this milk, you know, because I wanted to, you know, give you some help, you know, out of dil suzi, you know, out of dil suzi in English, we say like compassion, you know, compassion. I felt that you are fasting in this hot sun and these long days, so I sent you this milk, a sort of refuge from this hot weather. Faradatta ar-rasula fi, and you sent the person back to me with this milk. Faqala laha. That means, why did you send it back to me? It was just a glass of milk, you know. The Holy Prophet said, فَقَالَ لَهَا بِذَلِكَ أُمِرَتِ الرُّسُلِ. This is what the Anbiya have been commanded with. أَلَّا نَأْكُلَ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. That we do not eat except طَيِّبُ طَاهِرُ food. وَلَا نَعْمَلَ إِلَّا صَالِحًا. And we do not do anything except صالح. عمل الصالح. We have been commanded that we do not eat except tayyib, and we do not do except amal salih. And the holy verse of Quran also endorses this. Kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu salih. Eat from the tayyibat, pure things, halal and tayyib things, and do wa amalu salih, and do good action. So you see, good actions are tied to what you eat and what you drink. If it's not tayyib and tahir, if it's not halal, or if it's mashkuk, mushtabih, shubhanak, you know, the food is mixed, halal and haram. And we'll just get to that. So you see, this is so important that we know what kind of foods there are, what are the different kinds of haram food, and what are the different kinds of food that are mixed, halal and haram, you know. Regarding the haram food, there are a few kinds of haram. There are foods which are by themselves haram. For example, pork is haram itself. And for example, meat of those birds that are haram to eat. Similarly, certain parts of the animal's body that are haram to eat. A list of that. Similarly, those things that are najis, for example, a dead animal is najis, can't eat a dead animal. Blood is haram. And liquor is haram. You know, any liquid that causes intoxication is haram. Similarly, applies to drugs that are intoxicating also. But the list in the Risala of Amaliya of Ulama, this is like this. But so you see, these are the things that are haram by themselves. Then there are haram things that became haram due to some external reason. For example, food was halal. The meat was halal, right? But a non-believer, a mushrik or kafir touched the food. Or it touched something that was najis. Your cloth was najis, touched the food. For example, a bowl of something, you know, like you recall shorba, you know, khoresht for example, you know. And some haram, some najis thing touched that food. The whole thing became najis. Or something that is harmful for you. Now maybe it's not harmful for another person, that's harmful for you right now. Doctors say you must not eat sugar, let's say. This is haram for you, you must not eat it. This is two. Another kind of haram thing is the haram which has been obtained because of haram money. It is purchased from the haram money. For example, the food that has been presented for iftar, right? For example, the money has been stolen from some place. Or the money is, you know, from, it's haram money, obtained from haram sources. Or for example, it's been prepared with money on which the khums was not paid. Or zakat was due and was not paid. If khums was not paid, maybe you had just $100, But khums was wajib $100. You spent that and prepared the food. You created a problem for yourself and for the rest of the people also. They don't know. If someone suspects that this is, the khums is not paid or something, that this person is in trouble, now he has to abstain from the food. We'll mention a solution for this too. Okay. Or the food is prepared from with money, which is in which halal and haram is mixed. Halal and haram is mixed, you know. Like maybe this person is not sure. He has been working hard, making his own, earning his own money naturally, but has not paid homes for a few years. So this is money that doesn't belong to him, mixed with his money now. Now he wants to offer the iftar in the masjid. He's never paid homes in his life, or not paid homes for the last 5 years. This is money, halal and haram, mixed, and he's buying the iftar for himself, for other people, with this money which is makhloot, halal and haram mixed. The person, anyone who knows, cannot eat this. He should not be giving money from that either. Another haram food could be the one which is from halal source, right? But it is, there has been extravagance, israf. For example, you waste money on that food. That becomes israf, right? For example, how much food is made? There are 50 people, you make food for 150 people. Okay, now if there's leftover, what do you do with that food? That's also important. Now if you pack it, if you allow people to take it with them, so store it in their freezers, you know, then you have not wasted it. It's fine. But if you are just throwing away the food, then even those who are eating the food have a problem because of that wastage. Even those who are eating the food have a problem. The Islam does not, because by not doing anything about it, we are letting the food be wasted. We are also a party to it. So this food that I am eating right now, although I just took one plate of this food, but this food which I am eating is not that halal anymore, because I know that half of this food is being just trashed right now. And with this food, I am opening my fast. It is important that we abstain from meals, from edible things, food, which is mashkuk, shubhana, mushtabeh. We are not sure if it is halal or haram. For example, there are two kinds of these foods. One is, okay, it seems like the food itself is halal, you know. It's like you bought from a shop where they do zabiha, they slaughter the animal properly, or they get it from a place which properly slaughtered. You are mutmain. You are satisfied. The food itself is, the meat is halal. But the person eating this food, now the host is invited, the person eating is, he has doubt. Maybe this person, you know, his money is haram. His money is haram. For example, the milk that was brought to the Holy Prophet in that riwayat, it's from a sheep. It's halal milk. You can eat, you can drink milk. But he was not sure that this sheep, whose sheep was it? And if it's her sheep, she's saying her sheep, how did she buy it? With what money did she buy that sheep whose milk she has offered me, with which I am opening my fast? He does not allow himself to drink it, although it was a hot day and long fast, and he's really thirsty. Naturally, he is thirsty. He was like a human. For as these matters, he's a human being, right? Hungry, thirsty. And he has two times this thing happened. Sent it back once, brought it back. Again he sent it back. Until he is dead sure. 200% sure that this is halal. So I can eat, I can drink it. So you see, the thing is halal itself, but the source, the money with which it is purchased is haram. This shubhanat. This makes the food shubhe, full of shubha, you know. The second thing is that food itself is considered haram. No. For example, made with the money that, I mean, you know that this money with which this food has been purchased is haram and halal mixed. and you cannot separate that halal from the haram. For example, income, you know, there's, for example, a person has income that he has been, now he has changed his ways, but 5 years he has been working on a place which is selling, for example, beer and wine. Right? This income is halal and haram mixed or totally haram. But if it's, let's say, halal and haram mixed, because some of those things he was selling were halal, some of those things he was selling were haram. So his income is now halal and haram mixed. So this money that he has right now sitting in the bank, what does he do with that money? If he knows he has been making so much haram, he has to give it away. You know, that money is mazalim. This is haram on him, he has to now pay away. He cannot keep that money, he cannot spend it. But if he is just confused, he just doesn't know at all, he has to pay 1/5 of that as khums. Khums is wajib. One way to make this money halal is, it is not meant to solve, provide a solution for those who are constantly earning haram. They say, okay, every end of the month, every end of the year, I pay my khums and I keep selling beer. No, this is no way to make the money halal, you know. This is when a person is now out of it. He doesn't know how to, this, all these things he has in his house, this chair, this, you know, all this stuff he has bought, food he has bought. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe, let's say. Or he knew, but he was not paying attention to these things. So now he has to pay the khums to basically get it off his back, you know. This responsibility is on him. Otherwise, this food is haram. If he invites anyone to eat at his place, if you know this person is selling haram things, you cannot eat there. That means this person should come out of this, pay his khums, and then his money is halal. So otherwise, your ibadat is wasted. The food you eat is going to affect the ibadat, your salat that you are doing next morning is going to affect that salat. It's worthless. The reason is that everything you eat and drink in this month has to be with the niyat of ibadat. See, one person gets up for sahri, he just says, okay, I have to eat something, otherwise I'll feel hungry. Oh, I eat. This is one niyat. Well, we all do that all the year, a lot of the people. Animals also do the same. Why do they eat food? Because they're hungry. But the other person, he wakes up, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, allows me to eat it. And it is, there's sawab in having sahari. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, O Allah, for niyat of qurbat, I'm eating this. With this I can get some strength so I can do ibadat. Where the distance between that niyat and this niyat, you know? Not more than North Pole to South Pole. I mean, this is no comparison. Ya Abu Dhar, the Holy Prophet narrated, he said, Ya to Abu Dhar, Ya Abu Dhar, liyakun laka fi kull shay'in niyatun saliha. Abu Dhar, there must be in every action that you do niyatun salihatun, a good niyat for doing it. You can have a niyat, but niyatun salihatun in doing it. You are eating that sari with a good niyat, not just eating it. Oh, niyat of eating, I'm eating. As I asked you, why are you doing iftar? Because I'm hungry. This is niyat, but this is not a niyat of saliha. Niyat of saliha means I did ibadat for you, Allah, you know. And you need for the dua of iftar, or you read surah or Quran, and you say with this niyat you open this fast. And that's, you know, it's important in masjid. Is this really a good ibadah that we all gather and open our iftar? So we remind ourselves at time of iftar, we should have this, our heart to Allah. Oh Allah, I fasted, I'm opening this for you. This will count as something. This food that is eaten like this is going to make the fast of the next day a lot better, you know. Because you're also doing ibadat around the night. The day is ibadat is fasting, and the night also you're busy with the ibadat. Niyatun salih hatta fil akli wan nawm. Abu Zar, you must have a good niyat for doing everything. Even when you eat or drink something, you must have a good niyat for doing it. And this is general. Even outside the month of Ramadan, this is true. So we should keep away from things that are, you know, mixed halal and haram. We should be sure what we are eating is halal. Now that lays so much responsibility on all of us, that we are providing iftar to people, masjid, even for example, we invite people to our places. We must keep ourselves you know, our ghiza, our food, tayyib and halal. And we should also, the three things that are mentioned in this context, the context of food. One is this, keep away from things that are haram or mixed with halal and haram. The second thing is, for example, how much you eat. You should know the thing you are eating, it should be good for your body. Just because you're hungry, you fill up your plate with 20 kinds of different things, you know, it's not going to be good for your health, you know. They say in the person said, you know, don't eat this stuff with that. So, because it doesn't go, they don't go together very well. But he still went ahead and ate it. And next day he got very upset. He said, what happened? He said, you said this will, they don't go together. But I had them and they went together and they teamed up against me. They messed up my stomach. So, it was in Farsi, I translated it. But anyway. So, you see, not every food item goes with another one. Some drink, things that you drink don't go with the other. So, for example, the third thing I'll mention, and then I'll mention, state something from our Maliki Tabrizi. The third thing is that you eat something with qasd-e qurbat, qurbatan ilallah. So this will be also counted as an ibadat for you, even outside fasting. Now the fast is over, but you are still engaged in this ibadat. Alim Rabbani Marhum Ayatullah Mirza Jawad Agha Maliki Tabrizi Alallah Maqamo. He's done with the time. 2 minutes left. 2 minutes. 1 minute. I have to finish this. Okay, with the salawat, please. That takes a few seconds. See, he says that some of us, you know, there are people who eat their food and it's away from extravagance, right? In fact, they eat only halal, and even in the halal, they are careful how much of halal they eat, right? They enjoy the food, but they let go of some of the pleasure. And in, for example, in the Khuresh in Farsi they call, for example, what is it, like Salan, you know, Khuresh in Arab, what do they call it?
Marga.
Huh? Sorry?
Marga.
Okay. You know, you have, they say, our Maliki says, they have one kind of shorba, one kind of Khuresh, you know. They don't have like mix up alu and the qima and the, I don't know, God knows, alu gosht and then pasande. I'm naming the Eastern food, like for example, chilo khuresh and chilo something and so many different kinds, they mix it up, you know. He said, no, they don't do that. So they let go of some of the pleasure of the food in this month of Ramadan when they open their fast. Well, this, such people, their places, their ranks are very high in the eyes of Allah. Any pleasure you let go of in this month, it is written as a sawab for you. Not just during the fast, even after the fast, any pleasure you, because you're training yourself the whole month, not just the daytime. You're training yourself and you will be rewarded for all of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless such people, you know, all of us, with things that we cannot imagine and that we cannot, you know, have not seen, neither our eyes have seen, nor we can imagine such great favors of Allah. Sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.